Good morning, everyone. I'm Shedrick Davis, the president of the Los Angeles City Ethics Commission, and this is the Ethics Commission meeting of December 15th, 2021. In light of Government Code Section 54953, parens E and 1, and 54953, parens E 3, the governor's executive order in 2121, November 10th, 2021, concerns over COVID-19 and the commissioner determinations on November 18th, 2021, this meeting is accessible by telephone. You may listen in by calling area code 213-621-2489. Again, that number is 213-621-2489. However, I guess if you're listening to this, you've already figured that out. You may also provide public comment. All public comments will be taken during agenda item number 2. To provide public comment, please call area code 669-254-5252. Again, that's area code 669-254-5252. You'll then enter meeting ID number 161-788-4780, followed by the pound sign. Again, that is 161-788-4780, followed by the pound sign. Press pound again when you're asked for participant ID. With that information, I'm going to call this meeting to order. Let's get started. The meeting is called to order at 9:35 a.m. Eric Eusebio, our communications analyst, is serving as our meeting moderator. Mr. Eusebio, would you please call the roll?
Yes, thank you, President Davis. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and here or present. President Davis?
Present.
Vice President Darr?
Commissioner Darr, present.
Commissioner Janelle?
Janelle, present.
Commissioner Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, present.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, present.
And we have a quorum. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Eusebio. At this time, we're going on to agenda item 2, and we will take comments, public comments on agenda items and general public comments. If you have called the public comment line, please raise your hand to speak by pressing star 9. You will be recognized by our meeting moderator when it is your turn to speak. When you are recognized, please state your name and which agenda item you want to comment on. As a reminder, the commissioners are not permitted to engage with speakers regarding public comments. Mr. Eusebio, do we have any comments?
Yes, President Davis. We'll start with the first hand raised. We have 4 hands raised at the moment. Caller ending in 719, you will be asked to unmute, and you can begin your public comment.
Greetings. Greetings. It's Eric Previn from Studio City. I'd like to speak on the items and give a general public comment. How much time will be allotted?
You are allotted 5 minutes for multiple public comments.
Is there any way to get some of that time after there's discussion or by the committee, or we're just going to go for a block alone? That's all.
I'm sorry. This is the only public comment period. So any agenda items you'd like to comment on, this is the multiple agenda item comment period.
So if someone wanted to just comment on the lobbying summary, they could do so here, but not after hearing a little report. Fair enough. I would describe that as, thank you, Mr. Eusebio. I would describe that as fairly draconian, to be honest. But let's move forward. The Ethics Commission does have to work on their meetings, and the meeting schedule is in there, so we could start there. You know, eight meetings, it is an absolute mesmerizer. There's no way to understand whether or not the eight dates you've chosen in Exhibit A or Exhibit B are better than the others, but you'll work it out. The one thing, and there's been a movement, is the Ethics Commission, who in theory would like to have community input and participation, should try to meet not against the County Board of Supervisors, which they were doing for years, and the City Council and the police. Now they've moved to Wednesday, but typically there is a City Council meeting. So again, this bifurcates the crowd and they're preparing for that. So again, I would go back to the drawing board and find a time when there's non-conflict with other important meetings, because there's a shortage of the watchdog community, as you know. So that's one point. The other point I wanted to just touch on is I noticed the stipulation you have for Athena Novak. And, you know, here you have a person who helps with planning and getting things, you know, through the city hall. She works with Vika, you know, one of these characters. So, but it's a classic scenario where engaged in this activity but had failed to register timely on a project. So we're going to zing her with more than she was even going to get paid, or he. I don't know if Athena, I assume that's she. But, you know, so it's a 15,000 penalty, 5,000 times three, and now we're going to cut it down to 7,500. I mean, it's just an odd thing to be focusing on when, if you look at the brand new shiny front page, good work, by the way, I clicked on the new button and up came a link to the behested payments, which would blanch anybody's mustache. I mean, you can't even believe it. I think it was 73 million total, but 55 million went to the mayor's fund, which I've been glancing at in anticipation of the bounce to India. Unbelievable amount of, I mean, like, I believe that 55 million, that's way more than the governors of California, a huge pond of rich people. So these people are feeding aggressively out of City Hall on the brand of mayor. And it was Rick Jacobs who was handing out the $2,500 gift cards. So that is very, very, very upsetting. And let's move forward quickly on that. Good work on the first records retrieval. Here we're going to be, it's important that staff remain safe during a pandemic. And when the Ethics Commission has to serve someone or send them a little document, up to $20,000 to take care of it so that they don't have to go do it themselves. And I certainly support that. Nobody wants to get their anything under their fingernails when you're dealing in ethics. It's not appropriate. Item 9 looks like the Rob Kwan Committee. Why not? This is a group to meet and confer about ways to change or bend the charter to make it better for the people. I think that's a great area, and you should definitely do that. Just for people to understand the numbers, in the CD11 recall, you're looking at a lot of money raised to recall him in an environment where it's very hard to get someone like Mike Bonin out, but 250 in contributions and 183 have been spent already, 1,000 in expenditures, versus to keep him in office, 34,000 in contributions and 80,000 in expenditures. So wait a minute, that's a mismatch. So they borrowed some money. Check that. Okay, and then obviously we have the matching fund program, which we're coming up on the good work on posting the incredibly confusing schedule because you refuse to post what the city clerk is doing as well. So I'll reference that we're heading into a June primary election. So people will be getting ready. You have to be in the district by January 8th of 2022. And then the first day to declare is like February 7th. And then the period of nominating petitions is between, I believe, February 12th and March 9th. So that's important for people to understand if they want to run for the June election. And all the little number ones are on, I mean, odd numbers are up for election, which includes, I guess, Cedillo, Blumenfield, Caress, ding, ding, ding. Here is the richest district in the city where Paul Koretz and Zev Yaroslavsky in the past and many other great ones. I think Mike Fuhr, he's raising a lot of money now, which is fishy. But let's talk about Zev Yaroslavsky. He was a great leader, came out of this little CD5 cluster of rich people, went on to be the county supervisor, and raised a lot of money. And what he did with that money out of 3rd District was he put it on the shelf because nobody could ever challenge the county supervisor. That's the way it's skewed. We'll get there in a minute. But there's $1.8 million on the shelf. So I've been looking at it. Can he give it to the CD5 candidate whose name is Yaroslavsky? She's not actually a blood relative. She's his son's wife, a candidate in her own right. Katie, I'm sorry? Is someone coming into the call? That may be the FBI joining in. Or was that a...
That was your 5 minutes, Mr. Previn. That was your 5 minutes. So please wrap up your statement at this point. Thank you.
I'll just finish with one sentence.
Thank you.
Which is...
Yeah.
The one sentence is, so could Mr. Yaroslavsky's committee give money to his daughter-in-law's campaign somehow? Or would it have to be routed through something else like the California or the County Democratic Party? It's just, you know, I think that we have to be cautious about this kind of pass-through. So that's why when I asked the Ethics Commission, I was hoping for a straight answer, but they pointed me to the county. Hey, good luck. This is a great opportunity to hear from the public. So thank you for meeting more frequently.
Thank you, Mr. Brennan. Are there other callers, Ms. Moderator?
Caller 838, you will be asked to unmute. Please state your name and the item numbers you'll be speaking on.
Hi, my name is Michelle Gallagher, speaking for myself from Reseda Neighborhood Council, and I would like to speak on numbers 8, 9, and 11.
Thank you.
Yes?
Yes, thank you. You will have 5 minutes.
Sure. Oh, I'm definitely not going to take all 5 minutes. So regarding item number 8, yeah, it is hard to get to meetings when there are multiple meetings scheduled at the same time. So that's a great point to keep that in mind going forward for the future. Regarding item number 9, now I don't see on the agenda what particular amendments or types of amendments would even be looked at by the ad hoc committee. I assume that you're looking at just section 700. And I would just note that one of the issues that I've noticed as a neighborhood council representative is the ambiguity in whether are we elected officials? Are we treated as elected officials sometimes? Sometimes we're not treated as elected officials for certain purposes. The language all throughout section 700, for example, when it refers to whether members of the Ethics Commission can be, elected to NCs or whatever, it doesn't, as most places in the all the written stuff, it doesn't make it clear what the status is. And so just in general, I'm advocating for a clarification of that ambiguity, whatever it exists. And I do think it exists in section 700 and would like to see what you guys have going. Okay, now, section 11 is the main reason why I'm calling in today. On the neighborhood council meetings, there is absolutely no way to figure out when you're talking, when a lobbyist is trying to get you to do something or when they're not. It's happened that they've called in and we've not known who they are. And as we see from the other agenda item number 6, lack of disclosure does happen and is a problem. And it's just like, I was just trying to figure out, like, what am I supposed to do? Every time someone calls in, I have to demand that they identify themselves so that I can look them up on the website to see if they're a lobbyist. I mean, we're not allowed to do that. So it would be helpful if there was something saying that they were required to identify that they were a lobbyist, speaking, in favor of a certain position on the agenda item that they're talking on. And I know it's been pretty much totally unenforceable, but it can help to establish a pattern of behavior for a particular lobbyists if certain times there are problematic individuals. And it would just be helpful for us because I think most people would identify themselves. And so, yes, just something to keep in mind. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments, and thank you for your service on the Neighborhood Council. Mr. Eusebio, are there additional callers?
Yes, we do have two more callers. Caller ending in 404, you'll be asked to unmute. Please state your name and the agenda item numbers you'll be speaking on. Caller 404, you are unmuted. We'll move to caller 208. Caller ending in 208, you'll be asked to unmute. Please state your name and the item numbers you will be speaking on.
Hello, this is Rob Kwan. I'd like to speak on items 8, 9, 11.
Okay, you may begin.
Good morning, Honorable Commissioners. As for item number 7, it's early. Item number 8, your meeting schedule. I appreciate the efforts last year to make an adjustment to the meeting time and am hoping that you can find a slightly more accessible time that doesn't conflict with city council meetings. I see this as somebody that has, when you have big items before you, tried to whip up reporters to come and attend your meetings and tried to get council members to come and speak on behalf of their own motions or even get their council staff. And that can be extremely difficult. I just ask you to think to yourself, how often have you had a council member in front of you? I think there's been one total in the last like 4 years or so. So this is a small thing, but I think it would go a long way. You received a letter from the California Clean Money Campaign, Citizens Take Action, Ground Game LA, LA for Democracy Vouchers, MOVI, Money Out, Voters In, People City Council, Unreg LA, and West Valley People's Alliance, all asking you to make this change. So I hope you can, take the time to, go through your schedules. And I understand it is difficult to get everybody in line, but I do appreciate the effort. So hopefully that's something that can be looked up. Item number 9, I'm super excited about. As far as charter reform, I'd love to see a protected budget, independent council, and an ability to put ordinances on the ballot for voters to vote on, just like the San Francisco Ethics Commission has. I also would want to note that the recusal system in the city is insane. I find it odd that this commission has such a close role in scrutinizing the recusals of commissioners, but not our city council members. We have state law on that matter, and I just bring this up because I've noticed this as a huge issue, and that over the last year and a half, our council members are not following the recusal laws and not fully disclosing why they're recusing themselves. And this has been a repeated issue. I shamed and dragged them for 6 months and they started to do it. But through this year, that has fallen off. And in the closing weeks of city council, we had multiple council members accusing themselves and offering no explanation at all. So maybe that's something to look at. And I also do think that just generally speaking, it'd be great to see the Ethics Commission able to address things earlier on. I just think back to David Rue circulating a office holder account expenditure, a massive one, in the protected window after candidates had already qualified for the ballot. And that just kind of seems like something that we are long past when that transgression happened. It'd be great to hear what the outcome of that is. And lastly, on the MLO, as you've seen yourselves, the enforcement trends indicate that there are a whole lot of people in the city family that don't know they should be registering as city lobbyists. I think given everything that's going on with three-letter agencies poking around in this city, something's got to give with this council. You know, the lapse here is something that Bob Blumenfield noted. I remember in a budget committee meeting years ago, he asked Heather and David, you know, why is it that there are people that I meet with that I know are lobbyists, but they're not actually registered as lobbyists? And they explained to him, you know, the shortcomings of our current law. This is through no fault of the commission. They have repeatedly sent MLOs to the council. I'm hoping the third time is the charm. I thank you all for your time and service and wish you a great day.
Thank you, Mr. Pong. Shall we take another goal at the other caller?
Yes. Thank you for your public comment. Caller ending in 404. You'll be asked to unmute. If you can state your name and also the agenda items you'll be speaking on. Caller 404, it shows that you are unmuted.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, I think it was my headphones. Sorry about that. My name is Jamie York. I'm on the Reseda Neighborhood Council, but I'm speaking as an individual. And I would like to speak on items 8, 11, and 9, as well as general public comment.
Okay, great. You may begin.
Great. So first off, I wanted to lift up the efforts of others who are seeking a change to the meeting schedule. I've been trying over the course of the last year of my service on my neighborhood council to really just try and be more civically involved and to be a voice for things that I don't feel maybe have a voice. And so not having an overlapping of meetings is incredibly important. Everything that I do, it's on my own time. Like, I don't have, you know, like a staffer that I can send to go and monitor a meeting. I'm just a normal everyday person who's trying to exercise more civic duty, and I want to be able to continue that. So having the meetings not overlap is incredibly important, and I think that the role of the Ethics Commission is extremely important in not having bad things happen in our city and in changing the course of, like, having less corruption, because I'm tired of opening the LA Times every other week and seeing a new story about a three-letter agency. The next thing that I'm really interested in is an update to the municipal lobbying ordinance regarding neighborhood councils. So I wrote an email about this as well, but at present, under 48.08.8 of the current lobbying ordinance, lobbyists, if they write us, are required to disclose that they are lobbyists. That doesn't always happen, but that's the requirement. But there's no similar oral disclosure requirement, and I strongly believe that there should be. The trend is looking like that neighborhood council meetings are going to continue to be on Zoom. Even when or if the pandemic ends, the likelihood seems that there's going to at least be some sort of hybrid system. Under AB 361, we're prohibited from requiring speaker cards, which is where previously we had collected this kind of information, but we can't do that. And under the Brown Act, we're also not supposed to interrupt people's public comment, and we can't demand identifying information. So even if Reseda makes a policy that we want lobbyists to disclose, there's no teeth to that, there's no enforceableness to that, and there's no truthfulness to that that's guaranteed. But if it's done under the MLO, then that's actually something that we can point to. But more importantly, everybody who's on a neighborhood council, they're a volunteer, you know, but we're not given training through the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment on how to identify a lobbyist or look up lobbying activities. Additionally, I strongly believe that since we're being asked to be an advisory body to the city council, that kind of transparency is incredibly important. We're asked to weigh in on plum issues, we're asked to weigh in on particular ordinances, and sometimes we're asked to weigh in on things by lobbyists who aren't telling us how intimately they're involved in a particular topic. And lastly, even if they do identify themselves as a lobbyist to a particular person in writing, that doesn't mean that all of the other neighborhood council members will necessarily receive that, because there's often a diffusion of responsibility. It's usually one person who has a mailbox key, or the communication only gets sent to, like, either the president or the executive board, but that doesn't mean that that communication is necessarily forwarded on to the other board members. So I think that if a lobbyist is making a presentation or a public comment to a board on a topic that is tied to their lobbying, there absolutely has to be a disclosure requirement similar to the written requirement when they make their statement. And I think that this is a really easy update that acknowledges the current circumstances that we're in, but would also make it better for everyone on neighborhood councils to have informed votes and to be just making the best decisions possible. So I really, really hope that this is something that you will consider under the update to the municipal lobbying ordinance. And then I also agree with some of these calls for charter reform that would be possible. I really like this idea of having the direct ability to vote on certain ordinances and going through that process. So that's also something that I would like to uplift because I think that there are a lot of folks in my community who are seeking, you know, other avenues to have their voices heard. And that's that sort of direct democracy is a great example of one way in which that could be done. So I just, again, want to really thank you for your time. And this is something that I've been talking to at the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners for the last few meetings. So I'm happy to have the opportunity to speak to the Ethics Commission as well about something that I feel is incredibly important. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your comments and thank you for your service on the Neighborhood Council. Mr. Eusebio, are there any additional public comments?
Yes, we do have one hand raised. Call in user _1. You will be asked to unmute. If you can please state your full name and the agenda item numbers you'll be speaking on.
Yes, I'm a stakeholder, general public comment.
And if you can state your full name and the agenda item numbers you will be speaking on.
Stakeholder general public comment.
Thank you. You may begin.
I'd like to thank all the public comments that were made. It's nice to see stakeholders in a forum participate with the city. And I hope that you keep that in mind once we return, knock on wood, in the future, near future, to in-person meetings, that you will somehow allow this hybrid meeting to take place so that it will allow residents who are unable to make it physically to your in-person meeting, but still be able to not only listen in to the meeting, but to make comments. Thank you for your volunteerism and your time, and I wish everybody in the city a happy new year. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Much appreciated. Mr. Eusebio, is there any other public comments that are awaiting?
We do not. I'd like to announce, please press *9 for all participants if you would like to make public comment. If not, we will move on to the next item. President Davis, it does not look like there are any further public comment.
Thank you. Well, thanks to all who spoke. We appreciate your participation. That concludes our public comment period. And we'll now go on to the approval of the minutes of the meeting of October 20th, 2021. Is there a motion to approve?
Janelle, I'll move.
Is there a second?
Commissioner Kulkarni, I second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Seeing none, let's take a vote. Mr. Eusebio, please call the roll.
When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. This vote is on the motion to approve the minutes for the meeting on October 20, 2021. President Davis?
President Davis, yes.
President Dar?
Commissioner Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janelle?
Janelle, yes.
Commissioner Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
We have 5 yes votes, and the motion is approved.
Next, we'll move on to the minutes of the meeting of November 18th, 2021. Is there a motion?
I make a motion. Commissioner Kulkarni?
Janelle, second.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? All right, let's take a vote. Mr. Eusebio, could you please call the roll?
Yes. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. President Davis?
President Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Ms. Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janelle?
Janelle, yes.
Commissioner Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, abstain.
We have 4 yes votes and 1 abstain. And this vote is on the motion to approve the minutes for the meeting on November 18, 2021, and the motion is approved.
Thank you.
Excuse me, just for the record, the abstention vote counts as a yes vote under the city's administrative code, so the abstention will be counted as a yes vote.
To correct the record, the abstention vote counts as a yes vote, so we have 5 yes votes. This vote is on the motion to approve the minutes for the meeting on November 18, 2021, and the motion is approved.
Thank you, and thank you for the clarification. We'll next move on to agenda item 5, which is the possible discussion with authorized neighborhood council representatives. Ms. Saddle, have any resolutions or community impact statements been filed for this meeting?
No resolutions from a neighborhood council have been presented for this meeting.
Very good. Thank you. We'll next move into our action items. Agenda item number 6, which is the proposed stipulation in case number 2021-09 in the matter of Athena Novak and AHN and Associates, LLC, for the alleged failure to register and report lobbying activity. I'd like to ask our Director of Enforcement, Ken Hardy, to present this item.
Yes, good morning, President Davis and members of the Ethics Commission. This item presents a proposed stipulation in the matter of Athena Novak and AHN Associates. Dylan Gladel was the investigator in this matter. This case involves allegations that Athena Novak and her company, AHN and Associates, failed to register and report lobbying activities. Ms. Novak is the managing member and only employee of AHN, which is a consulting firm that provides its clients with a range of services related to, among other things, discretionary approvals associated with land use entitlements. We note that the majority of Ms. Novak's work involves projects and clients that are involved in relatively small matters, though there are a handful of larger items. Ms. Novak was required to register herself and her firm in the first quarter of 2020 and to file quarterly reports on behalf of AHN for that period. Ms. Novak and AHN filed to do this, but since the complaint was filed with us and since we reached out to Ms. Novak, she has since registered and filed the quarterly report for that first quarter of 2020, as well as filing all subsequent reports. So she's up to date with respect to all filing requirements. During the relevant time period, Ms. Novak made 1 prohibited political contribution. We recommend in this matter resolving this case by approving the proposed stipulation and imposing a penalty of $7,500. We believe the recommended penalty is appropriate given the relevant circumstances of the case. We note that Ms. Novak cooperated with the investigation once we reached out to her. She has registered and filed all required disclosure reports since we reached out to her as well. Ms. Novak and AHN has no prior enforcement history with the Ethics Commission, and we found no evidence of deliberate violation or an interest to conceal or deceive. So that concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions in this matter.
Thank you, Mr. Hardy. Commissioners, if you have questions, please raise your hand to be recognized. Well, I do not see any. So seeing no further questions or any questions, I will entertain a motion regarding the stipulation.
So moved to approve the stipulation.
Thank you, Commissioner Murray. Is there a second?
I second Commissioner Kulkarni.
Thank you, Commissioner. Mr. Eusebio, please call the, is there any further discussion? I'm sorry. Seeing none, Mr. Eusebio, please call the roll for a vote.
When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. This vote is on the motion to approve the proposed stipulation in case number 2021-09 in the matter of Athena Novak and AHN and Associates. President Davis?
President Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Commissioner Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janelle?
Janelle, yes.
Commissioner Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
We have 5 yes votes and the motion is approved.
Thank you. We'll move on to item number 7, which is the professional service agreement with LASR LLC, doing business as First Records Retrieval. This is a professional services agreement. Our executive director, Mr. Tristan, please tell us about this item.
Good morning, commissioners. We had previously entered into an agreement with LASR LLC, DBA First Records Retrieval, to provide process serving, court filing, and messenger services through the end of this calendar year. The item before you will allow us to continue these services through the end of next year. We recommend maintaining these services through the amended and restated professional services agreement in attachment B. The resolution in attachment A may be adopted to approve the proposed agreement and authorize me to execute the agreement on behalf of the commission. I would be happy to answer any questions that you have on this item.
Thank you, Mr. Tristan. Are there any commissioner questions? Seeing no questions, is there a motion regarding this agreement?
So moved.
Thank you, Commissioner Murray.
Commissioner Garland,
second. Thank you, Vice President Dar. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Eusebio, please call the roll for a vote.
When your name is called, please state your name for the record and yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. This vote is on the motion to adopt the resolution in attachment A to approve and authorize the executive director to execute the agreement. President Davis?
President Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Vice President Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janelle?
Janelle, yes.
Commissioner Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
We have 5 yes votes, and this motion is approved.
Thank you. We'll now move to agenda item number 8, which is our 2022 regular meeting schedule. Mr. Tristan will also present on this item.
Commissioners, agenda item 8 provides options for establishing a regular meeting schedule for 2022. The options include maintaining our current schedule of Wednesdays of the third full week of even number months, or moving to a schedule where we would meet every 8 weeks. Of course, you may select a different date and time that you would like. These were the options we presented based on our history and given the fact that we will have to consider AB 361 in order to vote on continuing to have meetings online. If we stay with our current schedule, we would be required to have two meetings to vote on continuing meetings online. If we move to an 8-week schedule, we would only be required to have one special meeting online, but it would mean that dates would be scattered throughout the year and not as consistent as what we've had. I know you received the comments, written public comments from Rob Kwan and others stating consideration of different dates. We are open to that based on the options that they provided. What would work for staff would be Thursday mornings. It looks like that would be the least likely day to conflict with the options that they provided in terms of council meetings, county meetings, and other committee meetings. In the past, the challenge with a Monday or a Thursday has been that the room availability for committee, for ARC meetings, conflict with committee meetings that happen on those same days when we've been in person. Given the fact that we're online right now, that shouldn't be an issue, but it might be something that we need to consider as we move forward next year, depending on what happens in terms of in-person meetings. If you have any questions, I would be more than glad to answer them. We've also provided an attachment A, a calendar to hopefully help the discussion on a date.
Thank you, Mr. Tristan. I'd like to ask my fellow commissioners for their thoughts regarding the meeting dates for next year. The goal at the end of this, hopefully, is to at least get one on the calendar with the possibility of having Mr. Tristan explore additional schedules with all of you. But I'm going to open the floor for any conversation and my fellow commissioners, if they're ready to set a calendar or if they'd like some additional reflective time or some combination of options. Please raise your hand if you'd like to speak. Or just wave at me if you can't find the button. Okay. I believe Commissioner Vice President Dar got there first, but I saw you waving, so you will be next, Commissioner Murray.
I'm happy to defer to Commissioner Murray, so she can go first.
Thanks, Commissioner. I know I really feel, I hope you guys can hear my dog in the background. I'm sorry about that. I really take into consideration the needs of our community partners. Mr. Kwan and Mr. Previnen and the other individuals from the community who are an integral part of this process. But I'm going to have to say the same thing I said last year and the year before that. Unfortunately, with my busy work schedule, Tuesdays and Thursdays are really the best option for me. For me, Monday is completely out of the question, as it's Friday. So I know it's really frustrating for everybody, and we did move the ball forward just a little bit by going to Wednesday, but I just think it's really difficult any other time, and I really apologize to our community partners because we really look forward to your input, and we're trying to make it as conflict-free as possible, but I know it's we enter this situation every year, and I know it's really frustrating for our community partners. But unfortunately, I think the original schedule on Tuesday or Wednesday is the best. And I would like to hear from the other commissioners as to what they think. I mean, it's a really hard choice, and it's very frustrating every year. So I do apologize. Those are my thoughts on it. But I'm only going to be on the commission another year, so my schedule shouldn't be the most important one to consider.
Commissioner President Davis, just to add that in terms of my comments for clarification purposes, it sounds like, those days, the current Wednesday might still work, but it sounds like the comments from the public indicated that maybe a later time when it doesn't conflict with other meetings might be an option. And I just wanted to ask Renee if in terms of what other meetings happen on Wednesdays if we were to have, for example, the meetings in the afternoon, if that would be a conflict with any other meetings that you might be aware of, Renee?
Not sure. I know that there are council committee meetings that are throughout the week, and I believe that some have schedules in the afternoons of council meeting days. And so that might not only conflict with a council meeting or a committee meeting, but might also conflict with our ability to use rooms when we are in person. We have to look at the schedules.
Thank you. Vice President Dar, you had your hand raised for your thoughts on scheduling.
And thank you, President Davis. First, I do believe that it would seem that a regular schedule that's easy for everyone, including the public, to understand makes a lot of sense. Having a sporadic calendar of meetings, which really is our regular meeting dates, I think just will befuddle everybody from staff, commissioners, and particularly the public. And we're going to have some special meetings, I'm sure, throughout the year anyways. So regular meetings, I think, definite yes. It seems as if we don't know when we may return to in-person, and that brings in new issues. And I also, you know, from what we just heard from our city attorney, it sounds like we need some more further information. And I, on a personal level, I'm here to, you know, be flexible about, you know, trying to meet at a time that will allow all the commissioners and staff, but make it easier for the public and for not having, you know, conflicting time schedules with other city business or county business. So all in favor of trying to do that. My suggestion would be, in light of what we've heard so far today, maybe agendize this again for our next meeting so we could revisit the issue with a little further information. We may also have a little more insight as to, you know, are we going to be having the city invite us to meet in person, or are we going to continue being virtual, and to just, you know, keep monitoring this on a regular basis so we can try to come up with a time and date that works for everybody. But to the extent that I can do anything to make that happen, I'm going to be flexible with my schedules. So I'll be the easy one, I think, on this one.
Thank you, Vice President Dar. Commissioner Janelle, Commissioner Kulkarni, would you like to weigh in with your preferences or thoughts? Thank you, Commissioner Janelle.
Yeah, so either one of the schedules that have been put out work for me. And as Commissioner Dar noted, I'm also very flexible with regard to timing. So I have no problem with revisiting the timing question in the future. I do want to thank people who sent a letter in. I think for those who cannot make our meetings, that is an effective way of communicating with us. They do get, those letters do get distributed to all of the commissioners in advance of the meeting. So we do read them and take into account what's in those messages. So that's the only thing. I want to encourage people to use that to the extent that whatever we decide ends up not being appropriate or effective for everybody. That's it.
Thank you. Commissioner Kulkarni, did you wish to weigh in?
Yes. I also agree that it would be nice to have a regularly scheduled meetings. My preference is of the two choices to go with every other month as opposed to every 8 weeks, if that's possible. And I would also prefer if we can have at least a tentatively agreed schedule for now for next year so that we can go ahead and calendar that. And, you know, should circumstances change where we need to move the meetings, I have no problem with that. But I'd prefer to actually have one at this point rather than to wait until next year when things, you know, very quickly in January begin to fill up. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, if you have any additional reflections at this point, Mr. Tristan, do you have any other reflections you'd like to make having heard the commissioner's statement?
The only other thing that I would add is, you know, given, again, some of the comments that were made by the public, one of the options, and we've done this in the past, is to and actually, Commissioner Dar will be speaking to a little bit to some of this in the informational item on the lobbying proposal, is we will have special meetings for those more heavy substantive legislative discussions that will provide opportunities, and we'll look to schedule those on dates that will not conflict with council or committee meetings and give the public an opportunity to weigh in on those substantive legislative issues. Until, you know, we can go ahead with the current schedule that we have and that will give people an opportunity to weigh in and then revisit dates in terms of what will it will look like if we were back in person in City Hall.
So I'm going to attempt to synthesize what I think might be a consensus here based on some of these comments. So to have something to Commissioner Kulkarni's desire, to have something on file now for the year, to go with the meeting every other month. At this point, we are at Wednesday. If we could also, as a part of that, send the commission staff back to look at possible conflicts with other city meetings to see if we were to move our Wednesday back, how that would affect. And obviously, we're going to conflict with somebody at every time, but how big the conflicts are were if we were to go later on the day on Wednesday. And I see Ms. Holt raising her hand.
Yes, I thank you, President Davis. I did a little reconnaissance during the discussion, and it looks like the current council committee calendar has five committees that meet regularly on Wednesday afternoons. One of those is the Rules Committee, which is the committee that considers our legislative proposals. So that could be a challenge moving to Wednesdays. We could look to see if maybe something other than the third Wednesday of the month might work, but it gets pretty complicated with that many committees also meeting in the afternoon on Wednesday.
As follow-up questions, when you say they meet in the afternoon, what time do those committees convene?
It varies. Some are at 2 o'clock, some are at 3 o'clock. There's a 3:30, there's a 2:30. That looks like to be about the time frames.
Specifically, since though obviously, as you just said, we're going to conflict with somebody somewhere, what the Rules Committee, which most directly impacts the subject area we're working on, what time do they meet, and is that every Wednesday?
It is the third Wednesday of the month at 2:30.
So keeping with the original thought, thank you so much, Ms. Holt. That is very informative. I would still think that adopting the meetings every month idea, every other month idea, and having a little bit further exploration on this, or if people feel confident with what's been reported, maybe pushing to explore, maybe pushing back our start time so as to have less of a conflict, or starting at noon or 1 or whenever, so that we avoid direct conflict with other committee or council meetings. Is there someone wants to figure out a way to put that into a motion so that we can take action and set a date? If you're inclined to set a year schedule, I know only one commissioner stated that, so I was responding to that, but if others want to take propose a different approach, certainly amenable to that. And one of you got to say something.
I'll move to adopt meetings every other month as indicated in the agenda.
I can second that.
Is there any further discussion? And I would ask for our next meeting, if you would include this as a friendly amendment, to have the staff explore possible start times that we could consider at a future meeting that might differ from our 9:30 time that would present less of a conflict.
I'm amenable.
And for discussion purposes, not for Commissioner Gard, for discussion, not necessarily a friendly amendment yet or suggestion otherwise, it would seem to me that it may be slightly premature to do it today, but maybe at our next meeting we should really make a thoughtful consideration of changing our meeting time so So if it's going to be every other month on a Wednesday starting, and we should determine what works better for everybody if we were so inclined to, you know, 12 or 1 o'clock possibly, in order to make us less conflict with anyone else and potentially easier to schedule when we go back in person at committee room.
Sounds reasonable. I didn't put it in the motion because I think that's something we can discuss.
Is there any further discussion? Mr. Tristan, Ms. Holt, do you have anything additional that you want us to consider before we vote on this motion?
No.
For me. Thank you.
Seeing none, Mr. Eusebio, would you please call the roll?
Yes. When your name is called, please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. This vote is on the motion to adopt the agreed upon regular meeting schedule dates for 2022 with an amendment to explore other possible start times. President Davis?
President Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Vice President Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janow?
Janow, yes.
Commissioner Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
We have 5 yes votes, and the motion is approved.
Thank you. Thank you for the discussion, and thanks to the community members who offered their comments on this item. We'll move on to item number 9, which is next on the agenda. Vice President Dar has expressed interest in looking at the city charter and considering whether there are provisions regarding the Ethics Commission that can be updated. He and Commissioner Janow have agreed to serve on as an ad hoc committee on that issue. I'm going to now turn it over to my colleague, Vice President Dar, for further explanation.
Thank you. So very simple. The proposal for the commission's consideration today is to officially form an ad hoc subcommittee. The subcommittee would be tasked with exploring, including public comment. I want to make this a very transparent process, and then be able to make potential recommendations back to the commission to consider as a result of possible changes structurally that maybe the commission may want to recommend. And frankly, the concept is, who better at this point to be one of the voices in possible changes in structure that we can't ourselves do, but affect the commission other than the Ethics Commission. So we should take the opportunity to have public comment, have meetings of an ad hoc committee, which allows us to have a sort of a more of a working group environment, and then come back to the full commission, who would ultimately decide what, if anything, to do, with at least potential things to either think maybe we could make those changes or recommend them, or things that we would just want to be on record of recommending and maybe taking a position on. And again, no agenda as to what those may be, but certainly something that would be a good, healthy exercise, and that would include, in my view at least, looking at what other ethic commissions around the country do and just look for good best practices, and a very open slate. And it would be one where the results will be up ultimately to the commission. And again, a lot of this may be an exercise in the commission considering if it wants to be on record as to what things it may want to recommend should be done to make the Ethics Commission different than today. Nothing more than that. And Commissioner Janow and I have both offered to serve on the ad hoc committee if approved, and we would hopefully sometime next year have meetings and some public comment and open this wide open for everybody and then come back.
Thank you, Vice President Dar. If prior to bringing a motion for the creation of the ad hoc subcommittee, do any of the commissioners have an additional question or comment they'd like to make on this item? Ah. Commissioner Janelle, I'm assuming that if appointed, you will happily serve.
You are correct.
Thank you. So seeing no additional discussion at this time, is there a motion to create an ad hoc subcommittee of Vice President Dar and Commissioner Janelle to explore the laws regarding the Ethics Commission?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I second.
Mr. Is there any additional discussion? Seeing none. Mr. Eusebio, please call the roll for a vote.
When your name is called, please state your name for the record and yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. This vote is on the motion to adopt the creation of an ad hoc subcommittee to explore and make recommendations on possible reforms of the Ethics Commission, including but not limited to possible charter amendments. President Davis.
President Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar.
Mr. Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janelle.
Janelle, yes.
Commissioner Kulkarni.
Commissioner Kulkarni, yes.
And Commissioner Murray.
Commissioner Murray, yes.
We have 5 yes votes, and the motion is approved.
Thank you, and thank you especially to Vice President Dar and Commissioner Janelle for undertaking this. It is very appreciative, and we look forward to your findings and the additional opportunities for the public to comment and weigh in. We'll next move on to item number 10, our final action item for today regarding whether the Ethics Commission meetings will be continued to be held virtually. Under AB Assembly Bill 361, a legislative body may continue to hold virtual meetings as long as the state of emergency due to COVID-19 pandemic continues to exist. The body reconsiders the circumstances of the state of emergency every 30 days, and the body determines that the state of emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person, or that local officials continue to impose or recommend measures to promote social distancing. The agenda identifies the recommended determination. Is there a motion regarding the recommendation?
Commissioner Dar, so moved.
Commissioner Janelle, seconds.
Is there further conversation or any conversation, commissioners, you'd like to raise, questions or comments? Seeing none, Mr. Eusebio, would you please call the roll?
Please state your name for the record and either yes in favor of the motion or no in opposition to the motion. This vote is on the motion to continue teleconference meetings pursuant to AB 361. President Davis?
President Davis, yes.
Vice President Dar?
Mr. Dar, yes.
Commissioner Janelle?
Janelle, yes.
Commissioner Kulkarni?
Commissioner Kulkarni, yes.
And Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
We have 5 yes votes, and the motion is approved.
Thank you, Mr. Eusebio. We'll now move on to informational items. As many of you know, we are in the process of looking at the lobbying laws and determining whether they should be updated. Vice President Dar and Commissioner Murray have been working with the staff on that effort. Vice President Dar would like to report on the status of that project. I'll turn it to you, Vice President Dar.
Thank you, Commissioner Dar. So Commissioner Murray and I have, as everyone knows, we've had a number of public comment meetings, and I just wanted to give the public and the commission direction that they should expect from the ad hoc committee that the two of us have been doing. First, I'm happy to report that we are working on a proposed draft revised municipal lobbying ordinance. The plan is to likely have, starting in January, at least one public comment opportunity based on a draft proposed revisions, and we're doing this as a working group so that we can then, as a working group, take in consideration with staff the public comment on the draft that will be circulated to everybody, and then be able to come back to the commission with a somewhat vetted with the public and certainly by the working group and staff proposed draft municipal lobbying ordinance for consideration. And that should be a much more effective way to get hopefully something that is had public comment on it before the commission, and then the commission will do as it desires, including potentially, you know, sending it back to the working group or more public comment. We'll see it at that point. But the plan will be to then have a good draft that public has already commented on, so that the commissioners can then decide what further action they may want to take on the recommendation of the working group or the ad hoc committee, subcommittee.
Thank you so much, Vice President Dar. If any of the commissioners have additional comments or questions, please raise your hand to be recognized. Seeing no, I'd like to express my appreciation, and I'm sure the appreciation of the entire commission, as well as, and this extends to our staff as well, for your work on this. And thank you, Vice President Dar and Commissioner Murray. It is very much appreciated, the time that you're putting into pushing this along. So,
if I may just say before we move on, thank you everyone for your continued support for Commissioner Murray and myself, and for the public listening in. The plan will be to have something that everyone can see and comment on, hopefully in January of next year, and as a result, make this a very transparent process. And our goal is to try to get municipal lobbying reform done if the commission so decides, and actually have it happen. So we're trying to be very, we're taking into context all the comment we've already had, and we're very busy trying to come up with a plan that will actually allow us, if the commission so wants, to propose reform that will actually have a chance of being adopted.
Mr. 2022, thank you. We'll now move on to our election update, item 12, which is on our regular 2022 city and Los Angeles Unified School District election. Blanca Pera is our campaign program manager. Ms. Pera, would you please summarize this item for us?
Thank you, President Davis. To summarize item 12, the election update, to date for the 2022 elections, we have 110 candidates that have filed to run for office. The most recent reporting deadline was August 2nd, where candidates reported over $7.4 million in contributions and $1.8 million in expenditures. The next filing deadline will be January 31st of 2022. To date, 41 candidates have accepted participation in the matching funds program. We have started receiving and reviewing qualification claims. Matching funds payments will be made once all the qualification criteria are met. To date, we have the 2022 candidates have filed over 1,150 communications. To date, we also have received one independent expenditure in the amount of $4,700 for the mayoral race. There are currently two committees that have been open in relation to the potential city recall in Council District 11. The committee supporting the recall has reported over $244,000 in contributions and over $183,000 in expenditures. The committee opposing the recall has reported over $34,000 in contributions and over $80,000 in expenditures. The committees have filed 36 campaign communications. The city clerk is currently reviewing signatures to determine if it will be placed on the ballot. Recall efforts in Council Districts 4 and 14 have been terminated. This concludes summary of item 12. I am more than happy to answer any questions.
If anyone has any questions or comments, please raise your hand to be recognized. Seeing none, thank you, Ms. Barrera, for your report. Thanks to you and your staff for your great work during this busy campaign season. We'll next turn to the lobbying summary for the third quarter of 2021. Kiana Asmanfar is our lobbying program manager. Ms. Asmanfar, would you please summarize this items for us?
Thank you, President Davis, and good morning, commissioners. So to summarize item 13, the Q3 2021 lobbying summary, this past quarter we had 729 disclosure reports due, 98% of which were filed by the given deadline. In Q3 of 2021, we had nearly $18.75 million in payments to lobbying firms, and the top 10 highest paid lobbying firms received roughly 47% of all client payments made during the quarter. As far as the top 10 highest paying clients, they spent around $2.8 million, comprising 15% of the total client payments made in the quarter. As far as fundraising activity, we had lobbying entities report a total of $142,000 in fundraising totals for Q3. They also reported nearly $45,000 in direct contributions and $19,000 in delivered contributions. Lastly, we received three reports from major filers reporting a total of nearly $100,000 in major filer activity from Q3. Concludes the summary of the Q3 2021 report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Anyone have any questions or comments, please raise your hand. Seeing none, Ms. Asmanfar, thank you for your report, and thank you and your staff for your work.
Thank you.
I will next go to the recusal summary for the third quarter of 2021. Samantha Rodriguez is our ethics program manager. Ms. Rodriguez, would you please summarize this item for us?
Good morning, commissioners, and thank you, President Davis. Item 14 before you presents a summary of the board and commission members who reported that recusing themselves during the third quarter of 2021. During the third quarter, there were a total of six recusals reported. The recusals affected five boards and commissions and resulted in the need for one new review to take place. The details of the summary are included in your binders, but if you have any questions or comments, I'm happy to answer any of them to the best of my ability.
Have any questions or comments? We'll next move to the next item, which is the pre-confirmation statements of economic interest. Ms. Rodriguez, if you would also summarize this item for us.
Yes, of course. So item 15 before you is a summary of the pre-confirmation statements of economic interest transmitted by the Ethics Commission to City Council for approval since our last commission meeting. And since our last meeting during the October 2021 and the November 2021 period, there were a total of two nominees whose pre-confirmation statements of economic interest were filed and then subsequently transmitted by us to City Council. The details of the transmittal are also in your binders. If there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Does anyone have any questions, comments for Ms. Rodriguez on this item? Seeing none, thank you for your presentations on these two items, Ms. Rodriguez. Thank you and your staff for your work.
Thank you.
We'll next turn to our policy and legislation updates. Tyler Joseph is our policy director. Mr. Joseph, would you please summarize this item for us?
Absolutely. Good morning, everybody. My name is Tyler Joseph. This is the policy update. So in February, we are going to have a recusal review for Mia Lehrer at DWP. We'll also be having a discussion of the lobbying laws, as Commissioner Darr mentioned, and potentially some meetings for public feedback. Next, the state's behested payment regulations that we discussed at the last meeting now have an effective date. So that date is December 22nd, and we will be sending out a notice on that. Anyone who's listening to this meeting who wants to take a look at the actual text of those regulations can find them up on the FPPC's website. And then finally, last month, our GEO team completed and transmitted a new conflict of interest code for DWP. That's a huge department that had a very old code. I know that one took a lot of work, so I wanted to congratulate them on that. The deadline for the council to act on that one is January 25th of next year. And that is actually it for me. If anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer. Otherwise, I hope everyone has good holiday, and we'll see you back next year.
Any questions or comments for Mr. Joseph? Please raise your hand. Got off easy this time, Mr. Joseph.
Wait till February.
Wait till February. Yeah. Thank you for your service and your work, and those of the other staff involved. We now turn to item number 17, which is the Executive Director's Report. Mr. Tristan, would you please summarize the Executive Director's Report?
Yes, Commissioners. I want to start off by bidding farewell and thanking Laura Medina. She was an auditor that worked for us for nearly 4 years, and Laura will be moving on to work for KPMG as she continues her professional development towards obtaining her CPA license. So we wanted to thank her for her 4 years of work with us. In terms of our work, we continue to be exceptionally busy, ramping up to many of the big projects that are will be coming in line this following year, including the review of the lobbying ordinance, the development of the developer contribution database, the primary election. We will start the process of training department ethics liaisons for our annual SEI filings next year. So the work will continue. I did specifically want to focus on some of the items on the education front. I provided for you translations of the lobbyist brochure that were put together by Nancy and the education team. And so this begins the process for us of translating many of the brochures that we have to various languages. As I mentioned, what we provided was a lobbying brochure that was translated in Spanish, Korean, and Chinese. They are currently working and will be finalizing a contributor guide in those languages. And in addition to that, we've implemented a Google Translate function that allows users to view and interact with our website in over 100 different languages. So that will be hopefully help the public that doesn't have an opportunity to familiarize with some of the information in English, help them understand and search and view our functions on the website. We will also be beginning the process of filling the two vacant positions that we provided partial funding for as part of our last year's budget. Finally, I did want to thank the staff for all their hard work during my first year. The staff has been great during this entire time. You know, they have been working hard and pushing through and continuing to move us forward on many of the projects. So I really do want to thank them, especially the different program managers and directors that have been great at supporting your vision and my vision on the work that we're doing. And so I really want to thank them. I also specifically want to thank Heather, who has been a huge support for me. Having her, you know, with the number of years of experience she's had, especially dealing with some of the critical issues, has been extremely helpful for me. And finally, I want to thank you, the commission, for your continued support of me and the staff, and your commitment to moving the agency forward and your leadership. So with that, I would be glad to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for Mr. Tristan? All right. Mr. Tristan, on behalf of all the commissioners, congratulations on your first anniversary. Wishing you many more. Thank you for your service, and thank you for the service of your staff as well this past year. It's very much appreciated. Ms. Medina, go fly, do great things, do us proud. We appreciate your service as well. We look forward to 2022. I'll now turn it over to commissioners for any announcements or requests you may have to schedule items on future agenda. Okay, I think we all pretty much feel our future agendas items on them. So thank you. Thank you all, and seeing none, we'll take that. That's that. If there's nothing else, I would like to thank all my fellow commissioners, the staff, and the public for a great meeting today. I do appreciate everyone's input and all the work that we all are pursuing to push toward a common goal. And with that, I will adjourn the meeting here at 10:53 a.m. Thank you all. Happy holidays to all.
Thank you, everybody.
Everyone. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Thank you, everyone. The meeting is concluded.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sivio.
The recording has stopped. Goodbye.